Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is J.P. Miller, the founder and publisher of Empire Report New York, an online aggregator for New York state political news. You can find out more at www.empirereportnewyork. That's one word, empirereportnewyork.com. Miller was formerly Mitt Romney's New York, New Jersey, Connecticut finance director in both 2008 and 2012. Welcome, J.P. Miller.
Thank you very much for having me, Alan.
So this is a great thing that you're doing. I mean, I really have been enjoying it virtually every morning. You come out and you aggregate all the news that has to do with the Empire State. What made you do it?
First, I'm a huge fan of the Drudge Report, and the Drudge Report is a very simple format, as most of your listeners know, and there were other states that had a Drudge Report type site in that state in the same format, and there wasn't one for New York. And so I looked across a spectrum of, you know, if you're interested in New York political news, you'd have to go to 3, 4, 5 different websites to get the stories. And so my goal is to put all of those stories in one simple format and to have provocative headlines, which your listeners will like.
Not ours. Ours are very somber people.
No.
Thoughtful people, yes. Go ahead.
I think they will like it. And so it is also continuously updated through the day. So if you go on the New York Empire Report at 8 a.m. and 3 p.m., you will see two different sets of stories because there's new stories popping up all day. Different reporters are filing different news stories throughout the day. And so we try to be the first to put up all the interesting news stories so that throughout the day you can check back 2, 3, 4 times.
Now, how do you make a dollar?
Well, we just got our first advertiser last week, which we're excited about, and we now are the fastest growing website in the state, and our goal is to be the most widely read and most influential political news site in the state other than you guys. And so we think that the New York Empire Report is going to have the ability to generate revenue through advertising.
Okay. Now, when you pick the stories, they sort of pick themselves. If the Times has an obligatory state government Andrew Cuomo story, you're going to put it into the paper, of course, right? But how do you get to exercise your own journalistic instincts in all of this?
Well, my instincts are at the New York Empire Report, I want to have up what the readers like. And so what I do is I pick 25 stories in the morning that I think are interesting, including Governor Cuomo, Mayor de Blasio, all of the stories that you think, and also some kind of crazier stories like upstate woman puts her cat in a microwave, you know. And what I do is I look at these news stories from the back end and I see who's clicking on what. So really, my opinion doesn't matter. It's really who's clicking on the stories. And if there's a story that's not getting clicked on, I take it off. If there's a story that I don't think is that interesting, that's getting a lot of clicks, I move it to the top of the site. So it's really a technological exercise in figuring out what my viewers want to see on the New York Empire Report.
Now, do you ever, using your own instincts, because I know you've been close to Romney and other things, did you ever say, well, this is right and this is wrong? I mean, do you ever exercise that kind of judgment?
Well, what I do in that sense, some people would potentially criticize me as being a conservatively biased website. I don't believe that we're conservatively biased. We're certainly not a partisan website.
But you are personally conservative, aren't you?
My own political beliefs do not come through in my site. I want it to be a nonpartisan site. But what I will do, Alan, is a lot of times reporters will write a great story.
Right.
And I'll put that story up on the New York Empire Report. But what instead of putting kind of the fluffy headline that the New York Times or the Buffalo News decides to put on, I take out the most dagger biting clip or quote, and I make that my headline. And that's what gets viewers to click, because no one wants to look at kind of a fluffy news story. They want to know the hard hitting, impactful, provocative, what's really happening in New York politics.
Well, J.P. Miller, but the question then is, when you put a headline on, that's where your bias might show.
People could certainly make the case that I am trying to be more provocative and potentially biased, but my goal is really not to have a partisan news site. We have Democrats on the site, we have Republicans, we have liberals, and it's really political junkies in upstate, in Albany, in Buffalo, Syracuse, Rochester, that all go to the New York Empire Report as their trusted source of news. I have a statistic here that of our visitors, 67% of our visitors are returning visitors. So people, you know, we've only been around for 6 months, but we've already got a huge audience.
I'm one of them. Okay, but JP, let me ask you about some substantive stuff, because you put the stories up, and I wonder if you'd talk to us a little bit about some of these wild stories. There's a guy named Bill Noje who wins a primary in Rochester. There's only one thing: he's dead. He committed suicide, and the people, he was running a primary, and the people, who the Republican establishment guys who were up there, they said, no, don't vote for him anyway, because then we, the three of us, county chairman, get to name who is going to be the assemblyman, probably, because the Republicans are going to probably win. So what do you make of that?
So what I make of that is, I don't think, first of all, I met Bill Noje only once, and when I met him, he was the nicest guy. I mean, I was a real fan of his. He obviously done a great job for his district. He unfortunately committed suicide. He had accolades from Democrats and Republicans. He's Steve Cuomo, so he was obviously a guy who engendered a lot of goodwill in his district. I don't think voters went into the voting booth and said, oh, I want to give it to the party bosses to decide who my representative is. I think it was more that voters went into the voting booth and said, I want to pay tribute to this guy that gave so much to my district over a number of years. I want to vote for him. And who is this other guy to come and try to challenge our beloved Bill Noje? Because whether you agreed with Bill Noje or not, he was a super dedicated public servant. And when I put up the unfortunate news of Bill Noje on my site, it got more hits on the New York Empire Report than almost any other story, because people wanted to know what happened to this guy. You know, he affected a lot of people's lives, I think.
Now, wasn't there a background story that there was some investigation going on about this guy?
There is a background story that there was supposedly an investigation about a business deal that he may have done in Cambodia, and potentially another business deal that he had done. And from what they say in the news stories, that he was maybe supposed to submit himself to the FBI or to federal authorities the following morning, and he never showed up. And I didn't know the guy well. I was a fan of his, certainly, so I don't want to give an impression that I know why he might have done this, but there have been a lot of stories about a potential investigation in Cambodia and another investigation.
Okay, so J.P. Miller, let me talk to you about one of my favorite characters in all of politics, and that's Jim Tedesco. Used to be a great basketball player. He's been before these very microphones that you're speaking into right now so many times. It's a fascinating story, if you think about it, because he's been waiting for years, toiling in the assembly where they, you know, the power of warm spit for a Republican, waiting for his chance to run for Hugh Farley's seat. This is just great stuff.
Yeah.
Waiting to run for Hugh Farley's seat. Farley was there for 40 years. And by the way, I always should mention that he was once a member of our board of directors at WMC. So finally, Farley moves aside. And Tedesco gets his chance, wins overwhelmingly in the Republican primary. And yet, you think about this, this may be the year, after waiting all this time to be in the majority where he had some party, where he had some power, that he gets to be in the minority again.
Yes, so there was a lot of speculation as to how well Tedesco did in the primary, and he ended up winning overwhelmingly, which is, I suppose, good for the Republicans. But it is amazing that a guy who has waited his turn, and it's anybody's guess as to what's going to happen in New York in the fall. There are going to be coattails one way or the other. I think that the presidential election at the top is going to be an election where I don't think it's going to be close in New York. I think either Hillary's going to do really well or Trump's going to do really well. And so
Hillary is going to do really well in New York. And every poll shows her 30 points out and the rest of it. That's not going to turn around between now and Election Day, is it?
If you asked me 5 weeks ago who was going to win the election, I would have said Hillary Clinton's certainly going to win the election.
I'm not talking about winning the election. I'm talking about carrying New York.
On carrying New York, I don't want to say that Trump is going to win, but I don't think that he has a 0% chance of winning New York. And the reason is that we have a lot to learn about these candidates. Just when we think we know everything about these candidates, last week, Hillary had a medical episode, to say the least, that we all watched on TV 100 times. She also came out and called tens of millions of Americans deplorable. So what can happen over the next 8 weeks? Trump could blow himself up and end up getting crushed in New York and everywhere else around the country. And he's certainly a candidate that's able to do that better than anybody, which is step on his own feet. But you also have the possibility that Trump may have learned his lesson, may try and stay on message more, and Hillary may be the person that that ends up really shooting herself in the foot. She obviously has that ability too. So I don't want to say that the probability is zero Trump will win New York. I think there is a possibility. I'm not saying it's a high possibility, but it is possible.
Well, I don't agree with you, but that's fine, JP. That's why we love this program. Let's posit for a minute that Hillary does win, that her numbers hold up, that she's 30 points ahead. She's going to bring in a lot of people with her, isn't she?
I do not think that Hillary Clinton, let's say she wins, will have the coattails that Barack Obama did. Barack Obama, the first black man to run as president, the excitement on the Democrat side for Barack Obama was way higher back in 2008 and 2012 than it's going to be in 2016 for Hillary. She is not going to have the type of coattails that Barack Obama does.
Hmm. And if you, because you did work for the Romney campaign, I just want to test your judgment here. What's the worst thing he ever did, Romney, when he ran for office?
Mitt Romney was, I think, the most highly qualified guy to run for office, but he was not a natural politician. And that's something that I think he would admit.
And Hillary's not.
And Hillary's not a natural politician. And I think that if you look back at history, the more qualified candidate is not who the American people choose. It's the more personable, funny, the person that can bring out emotions in the American people is who gets picked. It's not who's most qualified. You can go back over time. You could make the case John Kerry was way more qualified mm-hmm. than George W. Bush. You can make the case that Al Gore was way more qualified than George W. Bush. Keep going back, and it's the person who is the better politician, not the more qualified person, not the person that was right on all the issues.
Well, that's a very good answer, except that's wrong. The worst thing that Mitt Romney ever did was to put the damn dog on the top of his car. I mean, you know, and travel around that way. I mean, people have a lot of pets. Okay, so moving on from that little humor, let's go to the Nozzolio seat. It was a real close thing, nail biter, and we got Helming declaring victory. What can you tell me about that race?
Well, that was one that on the New York Empire Report we were watching closely, and I know from our clicks that our readers were really watching closely the Nozzolio seat.
And where is that seat?
Well, that seat is in upstate New York, and it's been held by Nozzolio for some time. And the big question is Pam Helming was the candidate that was endorsed by kind of the party bosses and was kind of the favored establishment candidate. And Floyd Rayburn mounted a kind of insurgent outsider, Donald Trump-esque campaign, and people thought that he was going to be able to do it. He got a number of big endorsements, but Pam Helming turned out to be, when it's a nail-biter like this that only got decided by a couple hundred votes or a couple dozen votes, it's hard to say that she, you know, overcame him, but she survived his challenge, which was a very significant challenge. He had enough funding to mount a credible campaign, and he also had endorsements from a lot of people that were impressive to people in the district. But it looks like Pam Helming is going to be the nominee. She declared victory, and it was one of the most closely watched races on the New York Empire Report.
Let's talk about my favorite, of course, which is Zephyr Teachout, the woman with the best name in all of organized politics, versus John Faso in the 19th Congressional District. I've known both of these people for quite a while now, and I've interviewed them many times. The question for you is, what do you make of that one? Who's going to win it?
Zephyr Teachout is a very interesting political candidate, as you know. I think she is a superstar, and people, you know, say that I'm conservatively biased. I really think this Zephyr Teachout is a superstar. I don't really agree with her on the issues, but she came out with a campaign ad, which was I thought was phenomenal, where she challenged these billionaires to debate her. And she put it up on her website, and she says, I want to debate these billionaires. She got 3 days of excellent press on this. And Faso, you know, didn't really hit back. And if I were John Faso, I would say, well, if you want to debate my billionaires, I want to debate your millionaire, your billionaire. You're taking money from George Soros, the biggest hedge fund billionaire there is. Look, obviously, John Faso has been a great public servant for a long period of time, and I think that the district favors Republicans slightly. But this Zephyr Teachout, she has what Bernie Sanders has, what Elizabeth Warren has, what Barack Obama has. And that is this outrage at the system, that the system is rigged against working people. and she communicates in a way that few politicians can. And so it's going to be a very closely watched race. There's going to be a lot of money poured in from national Republicans and national Democrats. This is one of the biggest battlegrounds in the country, this FASO Zephyr teach-out race. I think that there's a debate either this week or next week, which I'm going to go to because I'm so interested to watch these two.
Well, we had one right here at WAMC in our Lyndon Norris Auditorium. Okay, so this is interesting. So what's her downside? I identified one small one. It's interesting because maybe I'm too old to understand it. But she made it clear that she had some real sympathies on the Palestinian side of the, you know, Israeli-Palestinian fight. I thought that might have been a political mistake. What do you think?
Palestine stuff, when I put that up, and I did identify that story on the New York Empire Report, it gets a lot of clicks. People are very sensitive about the Israel-Palestine issue. I don't know, though, how much it actually moves voters. I think that people in the media find it really interesting and very highly educated voters, but you have to remember, these are going to be hundreds of thousands of voters voting in this election. And so one of the things that if I were Zephyr Teachout, I would not have accepted donations from billionaire hedge fund people like George Soros. I think that she could have made that a really great campaign issue. That's a very potent issue that Bernie Sanders has done well on. It's an issue that Donald Trump did well on. If you remember in the Republican primary, no one is excited about the influence of super wealthy people in politics. And that's maybe the downside that I would say to her, that I would have for her, is FASO could potentially allege that she's a hypocrite on accepting donations from wealthy
people.
While
I disagree with you about that, only because of where we're coming from, I think Soros is seen as a different kind of billionaire. I think he's seen as a good billionaire as opposed to a bad billionaire, the Koch brothers. But that's another whole story. We can fool with that. But what about John FASO? What's his liability?
FASO's liability and what Zephyr Teachout has been hammering him on is that he worked at a firm that did lobbying. John FASO would say, I was not a lobbyist. I happened to work at a law firm that did some lobbying. Zephyr Teachout says, you're a lobbyist. You were in government. Then you went to become a lobbyist to make money. And that has proven over time to be a very potent political label for an opponent to put on a candidate. And if John FASO is successfully labeled a lobbyist, I'm not saying he's a lobbyist, but if he's successfully labeled as one, that's going to prove, I think, to be very challenging electorally with the voters in the district.
Now, Eric Schneiderman has done some very interesting things lately, but right now he's going after Trump and he's investigating his charity to determine whether the foundation, the Trump Foundation, has abided by state laws governing nonprofits. Does Schneiderman face a risk of looking too political, which of course is what the Trump people are saying?
I think he does, and Schneiderman is in an interesting position here. We certainly featured that story on the New York Empire Report, and Schneiderman's in an interesting position because you have here Preet Bharara, who is really a giant killer. He's going after Governor Cuomo. He's going after Mayor de Blasio. He's going after the Clinton Foundation. And then you have Eric Schneiderman, who, doesn't have the same exact powers as Preet Bharara, but he could be going after these people too. And instead, he chooses to kind of go after the Trump Foundation, which, of course, people think that it's a partisan attack, rather than Preet Bharara, who is really fighting corruption in New York, or attempting to fight corruption.
And while you mentioned my hero, Preet Bharara, I want to ask you about that. We saw Hillary Clinton get asked whether or not she would reappoint Bharara, not that she's going to be the final say, because clearly it's Chuck Schumer who makes that determination, although she technically does the appointing. That's just the way it's always worked. And then Schumer coming out and saying he thought it was a little too early to say whether Bharara should be here. What do you make of that?
I think it's one of the most fascinating things in New York politics that no one's writing about.
You
wrote about it, but I'm amazed that this is not a big issue.
Yeah.
The fact that I believe that Preet worked for Schumer at one time.
Oh, he was chief counsel.
Okay, yeah. So chief counsel, and he said he will not agree that he's going to reappoint him. Wendy Long, who is certainly, not viewed to be a serious challenger to Schumer, she has said, I pledge to reappoint Preet Bharara because of the great job that he's doing. And she certainly, is not viewed as a serious threat to Schumer. But I'm amazed that this Preet Bharara thing is not becoming a bigger issue in the media. And as I believe you wrote, we may see a lot of stuff coming out of Preet because he's saying, I may not be here in 6 months, so I have to get these cases wrapped up by the end of the year.
There's a lot of talk, rumors about Preet. Some people think he might indict the governor. What have you heard about that?
I read a lot about Preet targeting Governor Cuomo. While Governor Cuomo on policy has some things that I may or may not disagree with, I think he is a very smart, shrewd politician, and he was a former AG himself, and I don't think that he would do anything to put himself in a position to be indicted. May some of his staff have done something that got them in a position to be indicted? Of course.
But they could roll on him, couldn't they? I mean, he's got Todd Howe, for example.
They could only roll on him if they had evidence that he had done something wrong. And and whether or not I agree with Governor Cuomo on stuff, I think he's a very smart, shrewd politician. Mayor de Blasio, who I see a lot in New York City, I don't think he's a very smart, shrewd politician. I think he may have made a mistake somewhere along the way. Governor Cuomo has been around for a long time. This is what he does as a profession. I see him go around to each city in the state every week and hand out tens of millions of dollars. This is a guy who I don't think would put himself at risk for whatever Todd Howe or Joe Prococo made, $10 or $100,000. I don't think that he would put his credibility and his governorship at risk. It's certainly something that will unfold over the coming weeks and months, both on your show and on the New York Empire Report.
Very quickly, and we only have a minute, he's still going after Tom DiNapoli, who just did his job and had some of his stuff looked at, you know, some of these big amounts of money that he has put into various places, and there's a question of pay to play. But why is he picking on poor Tom DiNapoli?
Andrew Cuomo has decided that he is not going to be a magnanimous, embracing person. If you mess with Governor Cuomo, you're going to get punched back, and you're going to get punched back 10 times harder. And that's just the way he operates. And as a viewer and a student of politics, I don't want to say that that's the wrong tack to take. I don't think Cuomo is necessarily wrong in punching back harder and faster, because there are a lot of people in the state that don't take shots at him because they know that he's going to come back way harder.
Well, I got to tell you, J.P. Miller, when I wrote a recent column, you put it up on your Empire Reports.
I put up all your columns on my Empire Report because everybody loves clicking on them and reading what you have to say.
Well, that's so nice. It really is. But we then heard from Rich Asapardi, who is the Deputy Communications Director, who tweeted all over the place that I was a historical revisionist. It was one of the best things I have ever seen in my life. And that, of course, is next week's column. But I love that. I mean, you know, it's like the two old Soviets, the Trotskyites and the other guys, arguing with each other who the revisionist was. And Lenin, you know.
Well, I'm really glad you brought that up, because that is the crux of my website. And that's, so you wrote this great column.
Yeah.
Rich Asapardi, who works for the governor, says this is revisionist history. And he slammed you. And it was one tweet that kind of got lost in the shuffle. And any little single tweet can get lost in the shuffle unless I post it on my website.
Which you
and
did.
I get multiple hundred hits on it, and hundreds of people around the state now saw what Rich Asapardi, the governor's spokesman, said about your column. They got to read your column, and they got to read Rich Asapardi's tweet. And that is, my opinion, the biggest benefit of the New York Empire Report, is we take stuff that seems to get lost in the shuffle and put it up in a provocative way and get the readers excited and enthused. And I think it got a little more play for your column, and I know it got a lot more play for Rich Asapardi's tweet.
Well, that's great. We're out of time. Our guest has been J.P. Miller, the founder and publisher of Empire Report New York, an online aggregator for New York State political news. You can find out more at www.EmpireReportNewYork.com. That's EmpireReportNewYork. That's one word, .com. JP, thanks so much for joining us, and we hope that we'll be back again and again.
Thank you, Alan. Appreciate it.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.